Before we begin this morning, I'd like to ask all of our children, if you're fifth grade and under, and you're in the worship service with us this morning, would you stand? If you're a preschooler, we don't usually let you do this, but it's okay for you to stand in the seat so we can see you. Would that be okay? Now, not fifth graders, don't you stand in the seat. All right, let's see our kids stand up all over the sanctuary. Hey, man, let's give them a hand. Wow. Isn't this awesome? Normally, you may be seated. Normally, many times, they're in the back at this time of our service. And because this is kicking off Vacation Bible School, Brother Ricky's going to try to preach a little more kid-friendly this morning, which means most of us adults will be on our level. Amen. Spiritually. Again, let me welcome you to Hardin Baptist Church Sun Harvest County Fair. Welcome you to our exhibit hall this morning, as this morning we kick off our county fair spiritually. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're going to begin our county fair carnival. And then once we tire of that at about 5:30, we're going to come back into the exhibit hall tonight. And we're going to begin to teach our preschoolers and children about the fruit of the Spirit. One of my favorite things when I attend a good county fair or a great state fair is this. Now, I love the carnival. I love the opportunity to take a little softball and be able to throw it in a little basket and win a big animal for my love, my wife. I enjoy that. But my favorite part of a county fair or a state fair especially is the exhibit hall. When you walk through the exhibit hall, that hall reveals all of the machinery many times that are used on a farm to produce crops, vegetables, and fruits. The various machinery that is used with those tractors. And then you come to the part where they actually show the produce itself, whether it be an animal, whether it be a particular crop, a particular vegetable, or a particular fruit. I love that part of a fair. It kind of reminds me of going to the grocery store. You know, when you go to the grocery store, my favorite section of the grocery store, well, my second favorite. My favorite part of the grocery store is the ice cream section. Amen? But my second favorite part of the grocery store is the produce department. When you go into a grocery store, you can just smell when you get near the produce department. You smell freshness. If I can say this, you can smell good taste in the fruits and the vegetables. I just can't go into a grocery store without picking up, putting in my hands. I try not to put it back. I usually put it in a sack. A big, luscious Granny Smith apple. I love large Florida navel oranges. I love ruby red grapefruits. I love Chiquita bananas. Amen. I mean, there is just so much selection in the fruit part of the grocery store. Did you know that our English word fruit actually comes from the Latin word fru, which means to enjoy or to take pleasure in? This morning, as we begin our Sun Harvest County Fair, we're actually going to teach our children, our preschoolers, about the enjoyment, the pleasure of the Holy Spirit of God at work in the life of a believer. And as we kick off the county fair this morning, I want to remind you of a principle that's taught on the farm that we know to be true. And here's the principle. On the farm, like always produces like. Do you know what I mean by that? I mean, on the farm, if you plant soybeans in the field, in the fall, you expect to harvest what? Soybeans. You don't plant soybeans in the spring and expect to harvest tomatoes in the fall. Because there's a principle of agriculture that's always true. It's this principle. Like begets God. The same kind. We understand in Genesis that God put that principle in the soil. God put that principle in nature that like always produces like. Now, there's a theory that's out there that does not come from the world of agriculture, does not come from science. And it's this theory that in nature, among plants, among beings, there is what's called macroevolution. that one thing can change into another thing. That's a theory. But it's bad science. Leading biologists, leading scientists still say the evidence is this. Like always begets like. Now, there is what's called macroevolution within species. You understand that. Did you understand and know that there are 7,500 different varieties of apples in the world? Wow. Granny Smith's still the top. But that's a lot of apples. That's a lot of different sizes. That's a lot of different colors. That's a lot of different tastes and flavors. But still, when you see an apple, you know that it came from an apple tree. When you see an apple tree, you expect it to bear an apple. Why? Because it's the law of nature. This is why Jesus could say, by their fruits you shall know them. For see, this not only applies to the world of nature, it applies to the world of people. Jesus is actually teaching that you can tell who a person is on the inside by what's going on the outside of their life. Did you realize that? See, here's what fruit really is. Fruit is the result on the outside of the tree that reflects the life of the tree on the inside. What you see on the outside is telling you what's going on the inside. See, if there is life on the inside, what are you going to see on the outside? You're going to see fruit. And if that fruit is an apple, you're dealing with an apple tree. If that fruit's an orange, you're dealing with an orange tree. If that fruit is a grapefruit, you're dealing with a grapefruit tree. Now this morning what we're going to do is, we're going to open our Bibles in just a moment. But I need to ask you this. Do any of you remember when you were in school and you studied Roman and Greek mythology? Do you remember studying about Pomona? Now be honest. I know that not everybody was educated at Faxon. That's what I thought. Your school probably taught you about Zeus, Poseidon, Medusa, Narcissus, right? Pomona, come on guys. She's the Roman goddess of fruit. Therefore, pomology, the science of fruit growing. A pomologist is one who studies fruit. Now, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to study the leading authority on spiritual fruit. We're going to study this morning under the great Apostle Paul, who I call the greatest spiritual pomologist of our time. Let's open to the book of Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to begin with verse 22. Where the Apostle Paul, who has just been discussing the works of the flesh. Now you have to understand that that's a concept that talks about someone who is an unbeliever. If you're an unbeliever and you want to see the manifestation of the works of the flesh, you look in the verses before this. But beginning in verse 22, the Apostle Paul has begun to speak about a person who has the life of the Spirit on the inside. Here's what will be produced in their life. Here is the fruit that God says will be there. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions. What Paul's going to teach here is this. He's going to compare the Christian life to a tree or a vine. We're going to use a tree imagery. A tree of the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer in Christ, here's what Paul believes. That the Holy Spirit of God at work in your life will be producing on the outside, as a reflection of what's going on the inside, fruit. In other words, if there's no fruit, there's no root. If there's no root, you're dead. There's a saying that someone says, I don't know who, goes like this. Fence posts don't bear fruit. Amen? I mean, on our farm, when we go looking for fruit, we never go to a fence post. Why? Because fence posts don't bear fruit. Fence posts are dead. There is no life in a fence post. A fence post has no capacity in and of itself in any way to bear fruit. So if you want to look for fruit on a farm, you go to an orchard. Why? Because in an orchard, hopefully you will find fruit trees. See, if there is a root, if there is a living, vital relationship with Jesus Christ going on in your life, there will be fruit. If there is not fruit, you're dead. You're not alive. Paul's going to teach to the church at Rome that if we do not have the Spirit of Christ in us, we are not His. When Salisa and I built our house on the edge of the farm, we took the dozer into a section of woods and we cleared out a few trees. Now, we left some rather large hardwood trees because Salisa wanted shade trees in our yard. Now, there is an economic value to shade trees, but that's not why my wife wanted shade trees. She wanted shade trees for comfort. She wanted a time early in the morning or late in the afternoon or in the middle of the day when she could go to a big tree, sit in her lawn chair, and enjoy the day in comfort, shielded from the sun. Now, we left plenty of shade trees. But there were some other trees that she wanted we didn't have, so we had to plant these trees. And one type of tree that I wasn't really for was called ornamental trees. I mean, in my estimation, ornamental trees are good for nothing except one purpose. Why do you plant an ornamental tree? To look pretty. For decor. We planted some trees just way too close to our house for my comfort. But Salisa assured me they were ornamental trees. They were dwarf trees. They would never get very large. And sure enough, they don't. But she thinks they are really pretty. And because they're pretty, she thinks we have a pretty place. But there was another kind of tree we planted too. And these were fruit trees. We planted some apple trees, we planted some peach trees, we planted some pear trees, and we planted a plum tree. Now, we did not plant the fruit trees for shade. We did not plant the fruit trees for decor. We planted the fruit trees for food. Now, did you know, and I did not know this until I began to research for this sermon, did you know that there are actually four different categories of fruit? Just as there's different categories of trees. Did you know there's a category of fruit called a pome? A category of fruit called a drupe? A category of fruit called berries? We all knew that. And a category of fruit called an aggregate. Now, a pome, if your wife sends you to the store for a pome, that's an apple. That's a fruit that has a small core with seed in it. If she sends you to the grocery store for a droop, she's not saying you're a droop. She's saying, go get me a droop. She's talking about a fruit that has a pit in it, like a peach. She sends you to the store for berries, you know. Come home with strawberries. Come home with raspberry. Come home with a berry family. If she sends you to the grocery store for an aggregate is a fruit that grows in clusters usually, like bananas or grapes. Now, I want you to watch this in Scripture. When Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, if you'll allow this, he's calling you and I spiritual fruit trees. The evidence that we are alive, the evidence that we are a believer, is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life producing fruit. Now, this is complicated for some people. I'm going to try to make it real simple. If you look at verse 22, Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is... But preceding this, he had been talking about the works of the flesh are. Okay? So when he says the works of the flesh are, he's talking about a plurality of works that manifest themselves in some people, not all of them. So that when you look at the works of the flesh, you don't read every one of them and go, whoa, I don't do every one of them, so I must be okay. No, if you do one of them, that's a category of being an unregenerate person. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, notice it's not fruits of the Spirit are, it's the fruit of the Spirit is. In English, that means what? Same thing it means in Greek. It's singular. Even though there are nine aspects of this fruit, it's still one fruit and only one fruit. The Holy Spirit of God does not produce in Christians nine different fruits. He produces one fruit, which means what? This fruit is an aggregate. It's a cluster. But where you would go get a cluster of bananas or a cluster of grapes, and each one of the individual grapes would be singular, they'd be the same. In the fruit of the Spirit, when you examine this cluster, when you examine this aggregate, there are nine different aspects of this one fruit. Does that make sense? So when you see a believer who the Holy Spirit of God is at work in his life, what do you expect to see? Fruit. So what's hanging in this cluster on this believer? Here's what's hanging. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You meet him at Hardee's every morning. Then in the afternoon when you go to Culver's. Is that good? I have to be careful. And you meet another believer, what do you expect to see? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Then you come home to a loving wife who's a Christian and you got a Christian family. What do you see there? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I could make this sermon really long. Because every time you meet a Christian, he has the Holy Spirit of God working in him, and you sense this fruit. See, as a Christian, you can't say, well, I'm into the love thing, but I'm not into the peace thing. I'm really into kindness, but I don't care much for patience. I really like self-control, but I'm not into that joy thing much at all. This is not a smorgasbord. You don't look at this and go, you know, I'm doing really good in these three, but I don't have these six, but I'm okay. No. If the Spirit of God is at work in your life and you are a believer, you will see a progression in the maturing of yourself. And the way you see a progression of maturing in yourself is by seeing a progression of maturing in your fruit. See, you don't measure how you're doing with God by how much you study your Bible and how much you pray and how much you give to the church. Boy, wouldn't that be easy? Read three chapters a day and you super Christian. Just read a half, you're not much. No. See, God took you, crucified the old man you were, but there's still some habits. There stems some residual of that old guy, correct? So what does God begin to do at salvation? He begins to move you further and further away from the image of Adam and more into the image of Jesus Christ. How do you see your relationship with Christ? How do you sense your relationship with the Spirit of God? You see what he's doing in your life. You see fruit. If there is no fruit, you're not a fruit tree. And if you're not a fruit tree, you're not a Christian. Is there fruit in your life that gives evidence of a root that's rooted in Jesus Christ? Now, there's three aspects or three seasons in the life of a spiritual fruit tree. The first season is called planting. The second season is called cultivating. And the third season is called harvesting. Now, one of these seasons, planting, is a one-time operation and it's over. It's done. It lasts for eternity. The second one, cultivating and harvesting, are repeated and they're continual. You don't have a continual planting season. You have one planting time. One time when the Holy Spirit of God has moved in your heart, He's moved in your life, whether that be for a month, whether that be for a year, whether that be for 5 years, He's been moving in your life. He's been opening your eyes to see that you're a sinner. Your sin separates you from God, who is holy. He opened your eyes to see that the only way to God, who is holy, and you who are sinful, is through Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ died a death on a cross that dealt with every sin you have. And the Holy Spirit of God leads you when He opens your eyes to move away from sin, to turn from sin, and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are planted. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. Third person of the triune God takes up residence in your life, and your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you have singularly the gift of the Holy Spirit. This phenomenon is associated with salvation. Ephesians 1:13 says, having believed, the moment you heard the gospel, the moment you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. If you have a faith that you think you've put in Christ, but you did not receive the Spirit, if the Spirit was not poured out into your heart, you did not have a real faith. A real faith has the reality of the presence of the Spirit of God in his life. That's a one-time, non-repeatable thing. It doesn't happen in various degrees. It happens the moment you come to saving faith. Saving faith is not a gradual process. It's an instantaneous process. It may take years for you to come to the truth. But the moment you come to that truth, salvation is a present reality. That's not to be confused with the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit is plural. Meaning what? For that person who receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit now within that person at the moment of spiritual regeneration brings to that person a spiritual ability, a spiritual enabling, just like you have a physical enabling, natural ability from your mom and dad. Now from the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you have a spiritual ability. Now that spiritual ability is not to be used for you. It's to be used in the body of Christ to better the body. Does that make sense? Now, gift of the Spirit, we all have the same gift. Gifts of the Spirit are different. So that in God's orchard, get this picture. All of us who are in God's orchard have the gift of the Spirit, and we're all fruit trees. But we're not all the same size. We're not all the same shape. Why are we different sizes and different shapes? Because God has a different purpose for you in the orchard. He has a different purpose for you in the family. Now get this picture. Fruit of the Spirit is talking about something different. While we are serving God in the orchard, in the family, in the church, in the kingdom, with our spiritual gift, under the possession of the Holy Spirit of God in us, walking under the control of the Spirit, using our gift, God produces in us fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Why? Because those of us who have Christ, we have crucified the flesh with its passions. And we're not controlled by the flesh anymore. We're under the control of God's Holy Spirit. Therefore, the change in our life. Now, let me tell you what will happen in your life spiritually. You must and will continue to go under a cultivating process. A cultivating season. You remember in John 15 where Jesus talked about Him being the vine, the believer being the branch. And He talked about His Father being the vine dresser. If I could take that image and apply it to Paul, here's what we know to be true. God, the Father, is in charge of cultivating you as a spirit tree to guarantee you bear the fruit He wants in your life. And what you'll see in your life is this. You'll start out as a young believer and you'll bear fruit. Then God will cultivate you and you'll bear more fruit. Then God will cultivate you and you'll bear more fruit. Then God will cultivate you some more and you'll bear fruit, more fruit. Then you've been walking with God about 30 years and then he'll really start cultivating. And then you go from bearing more fruit to much fruit. And then after years of walking with God and being under the pruning shears of God, there's not much of self left. All God. And next thing you know, you're bearing much fruit. And in this stage, Jesus said, is my Father glorified? See what you've got to look forward to in God's orchard? Because let me tell you the truth. There's two things in an orchard that happens that hurts the tree. Keeps it from producing fruit. Number one, there's unwanted growth. See, when you plant a little fruit tree, they'll start putting out branches everywhere. And each one of those branches start producing leaves. And the next thing you know, if you let that tree do what it wants to do on its own, it'll have more branch, more leaf, and not much fruit. Because the nutrients that are coming out of soil aren't going to fruit. They're going to branches and they're going to leaves. Let me give you an example. My tomatoes. I'm a little disappointed in my tomatoes this year. It's the first year in my life I have not had tomatoes in May. I normally have fresh red tomatoes by Mother's Day. Not this year. I'm disappointed with my tomatoes. Now, I'm doing something a little different this year than I normally do. Normally when I let my tomatoes grow, I just let the tomatoes do their own thing. But now as an experienced tomato grower, I don't let them do their own thing anymore. I mean, when a tomato plant starts growing, it starts shooting out suckers everywhere. And those suckers will try to compete with the vine to grow tomatoes themselves. And here's what happens. If you leave a tomato plant on its own and let it do its thing, it'll get really bushy, it'll look really pretty, and there will be green everywhere. And when you pull the leaves back, you'll have tomatoes, but they'll be little bitty dudes. And they'll be all over the place. And as a matter of fact, by the end of the season, you can't tell the difference from the vine and the sucker. The suckers will get as big as the vines. But the fruit will always be small. Well, this year, I'm ahead of the game. I got tomato plants about that tall. I got tomatoes about this big. Yeah, I do. Now, they're not red yet. I mean, I've sacrificed time and earliness. I don't have any little bitty red tomatoes about this big like I usually have at Mother's Day. Because you know what I'm doing? I'm suckering those tomato plants. I am forcing them to grow tall and to put every nutrient I'm putting on them to put it in the fruit. You know what God's going to do in your life? Boy, you've got it good. You live right here in Marshall and Callaway County. You live in Western Kentucky. You live in the Bible Belt. And you know what? We don't have many wrong choices. I mean, you got to work really hard at sinning around here. Now, if we lived in Louisville and Nashville and Paducah and Memphis and places like that, we could really get into a lot of trouble. But I mean, in Murray, Kentucky, what are you going to do wrong? There's just not a lot of wrong things you can do here. So we got a lot of people that are really moral. I mean, the worst thing you can do is go to an R-rated movie. I mean, that's really bad, right? So here's what we deal with. Our choices aren't between good and bad. Our choices are usually between good and gooder. Gooder and the best. And many of us living in this area choose good. And we become really leafy. I mean, we look pretty. And you can see a lot of us. But hanging on us is not a lot of fruit. And when you pull the leaves back and you really look at our love and you look at our joy and you look at our peace and you look at our patience, you look at our kindness, you look at our goodness, you look at our faithfulness, you look at our gentleness, you look at our self-control, it's lacking, is it not? Why? Because what we're drawing from the Lord is not going into spirit fruit. It's going into activity. And it's zapping our fruit. Oh, we look good. We look busy. Just talk to the average Christian and he'll tell you what he's doing for God. I don't think that's a question. I don't think the question is, what are we doing for God? I think the question is this, what are we bearing for God? So God's going to deal with you. He's going to take his word and it's going to work as a pruner. A big scissor. Shears. What am I trying to say? Pruning shears. Yeah, there it comes. He's going to prune you. See, some of the things you're wanting to hold on to that you just don't feel like God's in, you're trying to justify stealing it because it's not sinful. It's not. It's just not right for you. Why? Because it'll take away from you bearing fruit for God. But then there's another thing you got to do in the orchard. Disease gets into the plant, and you got to take your knife and cut it out. Sometimes insects, I did not realize this. When we started growing peaches, our first four crops were terrible. Matter of fact, we finally cut the peach trees down. And then I discovered something. I didn't know you're supposed to spray fruit trees about four times a year. I thought the problem was with the tree. The problem was with me, the orchard manager. See, little bugs would get into my peaches and they would never mature. They would never ripen. They would never get any bigger than this. So what's God's going to do? From time to time, yes, you're going to deal with sin. From time to time, disease is going to get into your life. And God's going to deal with you about that. Why? Because he loves you. Because he wants you to bear fruit. And that brings us to the final stage. Harvesting. I mean, when we planted fruit trees, we planted them for one purpose only. There is a second purpose for fruit, but the first purpose is for food. There's just something about homegrown apples. Do you not agree? I loved picking apples off my granddaddy's apple tree, and my vision was one day for my grandkids to be able to pick apples off their papa's tree. But you know what I discovered? Did you know there's a little saying that goes like this, an apple a day keeps the doctor away? Now, I'm sorry for all of you doctors. I'm going to hurt you financially by telling the church this. Apologize to the medical community. But do you know it is true? An apple a day is really good for you. You know why an apple is really good for you? Because in an apple, you have minerals and you have vitamins and you have nutrients and you have something called amino acids. And here's what you need to know. Your body's digestive system, when it reacts to certain kind of foods, especially the manufactured foods, creates in your body things called toxins. These toxins are really bad for your health. They can lead to heart disease. They can lead to cancer. They can lead to strokes. But amino acids have been designed by God that's in fruit, especially in apples, that actually go into your body and they do hand-to-hand combat with these poisons and they serve to detoxify your body. And when they detoxify your body, they're driving the poison out. Therefore, you're healthier, according to what I read. Now think about this. Why do you think God is allowing the fruit of the Spirit to grow on you? Because the world don't realize how poison they are. Do any of you ever just get a craving for an orange? You ever get a craving for an apple? You ever get a craving for a watermelon? Don't you love a big watermelon? Have you ever just took a bite out of an apple because you just wanted a bite of apple? Didn't understand all of the scientific reasons for doing that. You just needed an apple. Let me tell you what I know is going on in your life, and I hope you realize this. You ever had anybody take a bite out of you? Come on, be honest. You ever been in a relationship with somebody and you just felt like they were using you? Felt like it's kind of one-sided relationship. Just a little part of you is gone. Let me tell you what's going on there. There are a lot of people in your family, and there's a lot of people in your community, there's a lot of people that you work with who need love. They need a kind of love that does not rise from within and selfish. They need a love that arises because they have a need. Let me tell you something about fruit trees. Fruit trees don't eat their own fruit. You know that, right? Fruit trees produce fruit for others. You ever needed love? You ever need somebody to put their arm around you? You ever need somebody just hug you? You ever need somebody just hold you close because of what you was going through? And you tried to do it yourself, but it just wasn't the same. And then boom, someone come along that loved you. You ever been in a situation where there was just turmoil and you needed peace and you just couldn't get it from yourself, so you bit into somebody else? See, that's how God works. You think God's growing a spiritual orchard so we'll look pretty? Do you think God wants people to drive down the interstate and look at Hardin Baptist Church and say, "Wow, what an orchard for God"? That's why the world's not impressed by our Bible reading. They're not impressed by our praying. They're not impressed by our giving. They're not going to be impressed by us building another building. What the world needs that's hungry to rid themselves of the toxins, of the pollutants of the world is they need love, they need joy, they need peace, they need patience. patience. They need kindness. They need goodness. They need faithfulness. They need gentleness. They need some control. Where are they going to be exposed to that except in God's people? Don't you get mad at somebody for taking a bite out of you. There's enough of you. There really is. Why? Because the cultivating and harvesting process, you're not going to just have one love and you got to decide who to give it to. No. There will always be love. But let me tell you what will happen. There will be a maturing process in you and your fruit. I look back at me as a young believer, and I had love, and I had joy, and I had peace, and I had patience, I had kindness, I had goodness, I had faithfulness, I had gentleness, I had self-control. But it was really poor quality compared to me now growing in the orchard since 1974. You know what I've noticed? My fruit is maturing. You let me go into an orchard and choose an apple between a freshly planted apple tree or a mature apple tree that's been there for 50 years, and I'm going for the 50-year-old apple tree every time. Don't we wish we could just transplant them in our yard, 50-year-old apple trees? You can't. Don't we wish we could just be mature tomorrow? We can't. We got to go through the cultivating process, the growing process of God. We got to be in the sun. We got to take in the water. But we'll continue to bear the fruit. That's why when you're a young person, God surrounds you with other young people. They don't need big old peaches. They just need little bitty peaches. And you've got a little bitty peach they need. So be the fruit tree God wants you to be. Bear fruit where you are. As I close, one of my favorite things about the Kentucky State Fair, and I don't get to go every year because sometimes Jerry, and he done it this year too, he schedules our Brazil trips during the Kentucky State Fair. Jerry, we got to watch that in the future, okay? But what I love about the Kentucky State Fair is this. They have in the exhibit hall just huge displays of corn. Now, I'm a corn guy. Now, I'm telling you, they're doing corn different in other parts of the state than they're doing around here. And they got these huge corn exhibits, and they got these big ears of corn. And some of the ears are all grouped together, and there's a big blue ribbon. Then you go down here, and there's the red ribbon corn. Then you go down here, and there's the white ribbon corn. Then you go down here, and there's the green ribbon corn. Then you go down here, and there's the purple ribbon corn. Then you go down here, and there's the other color corn. 10 different ribbons. And when you take that 10th place ribbon corn and put it up beside that blue ribbon corn, wow, you can tell a big difference. Now, sometimes you got to be an expert to tell the blue from the red and the red from the white. Let me ask you this. If the world was to judge your fruit, what color ribbon would they give you? You say, oh, Brother Ricky, I'm doing really good in love. That's not what I ask you. If God looked at your fruit, your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness, your gentleness, your self-control. If the world looked at your cluster that said what the Holy Spirit of God is doing in your life for the glory of God, would they award you a blue ribbon? Do you really want to be white ribbon for God? Do you really want to be red? Do you really want to be green? Do you want to be yellow? Or do you want to be blue ribbon fruit for the glory of God? This week, we're going to teach our kids. Now, parents, listen to me. This is a very tricky subject to teach to preschoolers and children. I'll tell you why. Because fruit's produced, not manufactured. And our preschoolers don't have the Holy Spirit yet. Most of our children don't have the Holy Spirit yet. So if we're not careful, here's what we'll try to do. We'll try to teach our kids to be loving and to be kind and to be patient and to be at peace and to have joy. And we'll have to teach them to manufacture it. Can't do that. Fruit of the Spirit is not manufactured. It cannot be duplicated. It can only be produced by the Spirit of God. So we're going to teach our kids what's going to happen to them once they come to Christ. Because here's what's going on in the world. We got too many of our kids who don't ever really nail down when they were saved. And they make a false assurance of salvation based on walking an aisle and saying a prayer rather than having the Holy Spirit of God take them from the moment of salvation and begin to produce in them evidence that they are His child. The fruit of the Spirit does not cause you to be a Christian, but He gives evidence that you are a Christian. You pray for us this week as we bring your family members into our exhibit hall of a Sun Harvest County Fair. Father, thank you. Father, I applaud to you these preschoolers and these children. Some of these young people who are taught week after week on their own level, in their own classroom, with their own teacher. And this morning, because their rooms are being decorated as a county fair where we can teach them in Bible school, they had to come out here and hear Brother Ricky. They had to worship with Matt and the church family. And we thank you for them. They were so awesome. God, this week's about them and you. So every energy of our church, it's going to go into our kids. This won't just be done this week. This is done week after week here at Hardin on Sunday morning for our kids and at home with our parents. But Father, we thank you for the carnival that we're going to have this afternoon. Let the parents know it's not just for the kids, it's for all of us. So even families who don't have little ones anymore, they can come to the county fair and enjoy a great time of fellowship. Father, thank you for this morning. I pray that it whets our appetite to be ready for studying the fruit of the Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.